So we'll say we're on Kuf Yud Dalet Amud Beis. And if you recall, we were studying the sugya of Yeush in the cases of Gzela and Gneva. And there were two opinions. In which case is there more likely to be Yeush? And there are two logical reasons or variables here that can take us each one in a different direction. One logical reason would be to say that in the case of a ganov, I don't recognize him. How am I going to get it back? So I might as well be misyayish and give up hope. And that would be the shita of the chachamim. And then we have another shita that says no. In the case of ganov, he's an easy guy. He's a yellow belly. He snuck in. Gazlan is going to be Yeish, because in a Gazlan he's such a tough customer that it's going to be nearly impossible to retrieve the stolen object. Now, if you're on Kuf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph, what I'd like you to do is count up from the bottom of the page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 lines. So what happens over here? Tnan. Do you see the word Tnan? You have it? 9 lines up from the bottom. Now, in order to appreciate this Tnan, what we want to do is understand that... Just 1 second... I think we did that already, no? Just 1 second. Oh, no, I don't think we did this yet. Okay. Tanan. Let's go back to our Mishnah. Now, Rabosa, you may recall that our Mishnah had two cases in the ratio. The first case was the case of Muhsin. These are the tax collectors. And they confiscated Reuven's donkey and they gave it over to Shimon. And the Mishnah says that Shimon's allowed to keep it. Then the Mishnah goes on to address the case of a listim. And the listim in this case took the ksus, the garment of Reuven, and gave it over to Shimon, and Shimon's allowed to keep it. It means that the Mishnah establishes that Yeush is Kona in two cases. Case number one is the Muhsin case. Case number two is the Listim case. The problem that the Gemara is raising now is that Listim is a Ganov and Muhsin is a Gazlan. Let's explain. In the case of Muhsin, these collectors who represent the government, they're not in any way ashamed or embarrassed or hidden about taking away and confiscating property from the rank and file citizen. So that's called gzela. Gzela means bold and brazen. On the other hand, listim is someone who conceals his identity. And we had a little bit of a discussion here about how to translate the word listim here. Some say it's a bandit. I don't know. For some reason, the word bandit just doesn't sit well with me. Because
a bandit wears a band.
Yeah, so maybe that itself makes him into a god. I would rather call him a thief if I had the choice. All right, whatever it is, you know, it's a subjective question. Whatever you prefer. You want to call him a bandit, call him a bandit. You want to call him a thief, you're on my team, then we'll call him a thief. Whatever it is, he's not such a good guy, and I don't think we should give him shlishi, not even shishi. And the Mishnah establishes that in both cases, that of Muhsin and that of Listim, that of a Gazan and that of a Ganov, he was Kona Bishinu. I'm sorry, he was Kona B'Yeish. So we see that Yeish is Kona for both Ganov and Gazan, Gazan and Ganov. So the Gemara asks the following question: Mani, who's the author of our Mishnah? Ira Bonon Kashi Gazan. I don't understand Muhsin, because Muhsin, according to Rabbanan, there's no Yeush. He hopes to get it back. Again, some Mefarshim ask the Kash, but maybe in the case of the government, it's a little bit different than your classical Gazlan, whatever it might be. But the Irab Shimon, if our Mishnah was authored by Reb Shimon, Reb Shimon says that in the case of Gzela there's Yeush, is Kashu Gad, if we don't understand the case of Listim, why did the Mishnah postulate that there's Yeush in the case of Listim if Listim is a Ganav? So Bishleim Ula, you can get out of it if you hold like Ula, Di Amar Biyodua Kani. If we have two witnesses that testify that the Nignav or the Nigzal, either way, was Mesiaish, we overheard him say, Vaili Lichisar and Kis, then there's Yeish, is Hachinami. Our mission is talking about a case Biyodua, the Divrei HaKol. Everybody would agree that in the case of Yadua says Ula, there is Yeush, because we know he was Mesiaish. Again, it's a little bit of a stretch in the words of the Mishnah, as we discussed last time. El Rabba, Rabba was of the opinion that it makes no difference what he said, but rather each one holds Chachamim and Rav Shimon that in his case there is Yeush, but in the other case it's not Yeush. So even Biyadua, Nami Machlokas, we still have the outstanding controversy, is Hamani Lo Rabbanav Lo Rav Shimon. We don't have an author to our Mishnah. Now later on we're going to see that there's a third Tana that's going to be thrown into this Cholot, that's Rebbe. And Rabbi Yudah Nasi is of the opinion that both in the case of Ganav and in the case of Gazlan is Yeush. But right now the Gemara is not operating with Rebbe. The Gemara is only operating with these two Shitos of Rabbanon and Rabbi Shimon, who are codified in the Mishnah in Caleb. So the Gemara answers, you know what? You have to add another word to interpret our Mishnah of Listim. We have to convert Listim from a thief, which would be a Ganov, to an armed robber, which would be a Gazlan. And that's called, in the Lashon HaShas, all over, Listim Mizuyah. Mizuyah means he's got armor, he's got weapons. Now, if Listim Mizuyan is a Gazlan, then we have two cases in the Mishnah of a Gazlan. Number one, Muchsin. Number two, Listim Mizuyan. For Reb Shimon he, and Reb Shimon holds in the case of Gazlan, the Stam Yeush Bailim, and therefore, in this case, that you know, Reuven's mule was taken away and given to Shimon. Shimon's allowed to keep the mule because it was Yeush on the part of Reuven. So Gemara says, he hachi, but then Hainu Gazlan, you're really repeating yourself. The Mishnah now has Gazlan and Gazlan. You know, why do you have to tell me both Muchsin and Listim Mizuyan if both of them are cases of Gazlan? So again, we tried to suggest that maybe if I only had Listim Mizuyan, I would assume in that case he has no way of appealing and he's going to give up because the guy will knock his block off. Maybe in the case of Muxin he could appeal it in front of some local court. Well, just the opposite. If I only had the case of Muxin, I would have said Farfalin, there's no way I'm going to get it back for the Muxin. I mean, they were collected and confiscated as taxes. But in the case of Listim Mizuyan, you know, we put up a sign that says White Earp, you know, I don't know, wanted dead or alive. Maybe we'll be able to haul him into Besdin. But the Gemara says no. The Gemara says Tre Gavne Gazlan. We want to talk about two different categories or cases of Gazlan. One is a Gazlan that comes with armor, you know, with weapons. That's called a Listim Mizuyan. And then there's a case of a Gazlan who doesn't come with Listim Mizuyan. That's the case of Muchsin. And perhaps the Mishnah wants to be mechadish to us that all the dinim of Yeush apply, even in the case, according to Reb Shimon, of course, even in the case of Listim Mizuyan. Well, again, you know, you and I might ask the following question. If he's a Listim Mizuyan, then for sure Reb Shimon is going to hold his Yeush, because that's the most dangerous kind of a Gazlan, an armed robber. In fact, there's a whole parsha in the Torah about possibly killing an armed robber. You know which parsha I have in mind? Bava Machteres. Excellent. But bottom line is we have here Tre Gavni Gazlan. Now the Gemara again wants to prove Ula from a Braisa. And again, we're going to have the same, almost the identical give and take, the Shakla Vitaria. Toshma, we have a Braisa that says the Fana. Hagano Vaha Gazlan. Now, in this particular case, we're not going to say that the Gano and the Gazlan passed it on to someone else and that person's allowed to keep it for himself based on Yeush. But that the Gano and the Gazlan themselves made a Kinyan, and based on their Kinyan, they could create a Kinyan. So before we explain that, we'll first read one more word in the Braisa, Veha Anos. Now Anos is identified here by Rashi as a Chamsan. Chamsa means I take it from you, but I pay you for it. I mean, you have no interest in selling it to me, but I abscond with the object and I put the money on your table. That's also another form of Gneva. So what does the Braisa tell us about all these cases? Higdishan Hegdeshu Trumasan Truma Masrosov Masim Masroson Masim. So these are three halachas in Kodshim, in Zroim, where bailus, where ownership is a precondition. I can only be magdish something, give it over to Hegdesh, if it's mine. I can only be mafish truma and the truma bichal if it's my tvua. And the same is true for maser. So apparently this Bryce is trying to tell me that both in the case of Ganav and in the case of Gazlan, the Hegdesh is valid because the Ganav and the Gazlan made a kinyan based on Yerush. But Irabonin Kashi Gazlan, Irab Shimon Kashi Ganav. Neither Rab Shimon nor Rabbanan have this carte blanche all across, all inclusive statement that there's always an assumption of Yeish. Rabbanan thinks there's an assumption of Yeish in the case of a Ganov, but not in the case of a Gazlan, and Rab Shimon says just the opposite. Bishleim ala Ula, again, the same logic. We can get away with this according to Ula Diomar Biyo Duakani, that if we know for a fact that he was Misyayesh, so it doesn't matter whether it's Gzelo or Gneva, there is Yeush, Hachinami, that's what this price is talking about. It's a case where we know Biyo Dua, that he was Misyayesh V'Divrei HaKol, that both Rav Shimon and Chacham would agree, that once we know for a fact that he, the Gnignav, or the Gnigzal, was Misyayesh, that Yeush is Chal. We have a real problem going to Rava, because in his perspective, it doesn't matter if we heard that he was Messiah explicitly, nevertheless, the Yesh is not Chal. So the Gemara gives the same answer. Hachinami will say the same answer, that when it says Ganav in the Braisa, it's Belistim Mizuyam. You know, it's one thing to say that listim is a listim mizuyim, because then you're just adding one adjective, so to speak, to the word listim. But here, you're taking the word ganov, and you're telling me that this ganov in this price is really listim mizuyim. Bit of a stretch. But what do we gain by this, if you can tolerate this linguistic change, that it's Reb Shimoni, that the author of this price is none other than Reb Shimoni, who says that in the case of gzela, there is yeush. And in Ganov, which is now Listim Mizuyon, according to this reinterpretation, there is Yeush, because a Listim Mizuyon is a case of a Gazlan. So the Gemara says, Ihochi Haidu Gazlan, why would the Raisa repeat the word Gazlan twice? Because the word Ganov is now a Gazlan. Trei Gavni Gazlan are two kinds or types of Gazlanin. You know, there's your classical case of a Gazlan who attacks you and physically, you know, takes your possessions, and then there's the Gazlan who comes with weapons and he threatens to kill you. That's called a listim mizuyim. Both are a Gazlan, but as far as Yeish Bailam is concerned, it's, since they're both Gazlanim, therefore we can assume Yeish according to Rav Shimon. Now if you take a look at Tosfos for just a split second, Tosfos Dibra Maschil Hainu Gazlan. So Tosfos points out that when you classify Listim Mizuyon as a Gazlan, there's a bit of a chiddush over here, because the Gemara earlier on Daf Samach Zion, I believe it was, let me just see, I think he tells you where it is. What letter do you have there? An Aleph. Ayin Tes. Oh, okay, good. On Daf Ayin Tes, the Gemara says that there's one man the Omer holds that Listim Mizuyon is a Ganav, meaning he's so afraid of his victim that he brings a weapon along. That fear of a victim puts him in the category of a Ganav. Says Tosfos, that has nothing to do with our discussion here. Why? Because the discussion there is about whether he pays Keren and Kefel, or just the Keren. A Ganav pays Kefel, a Gazlan only pays Keren. What's the status of Listim Mizuyon? So the Gemara quotes him on the Omer, who says that Listim Mizuyon is a Ganav, and therefore he pays Kefel. That doesn't mean that as far as Yeush is concerned, we're going to call it a Ganav. A Ganav, according to Rav Shimon, where there is no Yeush, no, he's a Gazlan. Why is it that he pays kefel if he's a gazlan? In other words, why in Hilchas kefel? You understand, Tosfos is presenting what I call the theory of relativity. Relative to Hilchas kefel, we're going to classify the list of mezuyim as a ganav, and he's going to pay kefel. Relative to Yeush, we're going to classify the list of mezuyim as a gazlan, according to Rav Shimon, and that's why there's Yeush. What's the rationale here? For this theory of relativity. If he's a gazlan, and that's what we saw here in our sugya of Yeush, then he should be a gazlan, he'd be potter from kefel. If he's a ganav, that's why he's chayv kefel, why not assume Yeush? But the answer is, I think, obvious, because in Hilchas Yeush, we're talking about the ability to retrieve your object in Bezdin from this armed robber. The mitzvah, the reality is that in the case of an armed robber, he's not interested in going to Beis Din. Try suing him and he'll blow you up. I don't know what he'll do. But as far as kefel is concerned, there we have particular conditions that have to be met in order to be chayav kefel, or, and this is more significant, to be potter mi kefel. And the Torah says that, this... Again, it's a little bit time to cry. Just before I discuss that, maybe time to cry is a little bit iffy. But the Gemara in this particular case of kefil for ganav mentions time to cry. Well, why is it that a ganav is chayv kefil and a gazan is not? So there's a certain hypocrisy in the case of a ganav. He's afraid of human beings and he's not afraid of God. You remember this? That category, that description, would fit very well in the case of list of mezuyim. Because again, if we're assuming list of mezuyim is afraid of man, and that's why he has to resort to using armed weapons, then in that sense, there's no hypocrisy here. He's not making a statement, well, I'm afraid of God, I'm not afraid of God, but I'm afraid of man. No. That's not so. He's being consistent. In that sense, he's like a gazlan. Okay. Now Rav Hosai, we go on, and Ibai Seim of the Gemara now introduces Rebbe. What's the sheet of Rebbe? So this is a confusing business, but I'm going to give you the final conclusion. Then we're going to have to go through the various possibilities. But the final conclusion is that Rebbe holds that a ganav is like a gazlan of Rav Shimon, and just like the gazlan of Rav Shimon, there's Yeush, there's a premise of Yeush, so too, Rebbe holds that in the ganav, there's a premise of Yeush. Which means that once something is stolen from Reuven, whether it was stolen this way or that way, through Gnevo or Gzela, Reuven despairs, he gives up hope of ever retrieving his object. This sanya we learned in the Braisa, Rebbe Omer, ganav ki gazlan. So Rav Hosai, before we turn to Kuf Yudal and Beis, just memorize those two words, Ganav ki gazlan. And that's all that we got from Rebbe. He was very short and terse and somewhat ambiguous. What does it mean, Ganav is like a gazlan? Well, what, tell me first what the din of a gazlan is, and then you can compare a Ganav to a gazlan. So the Gemara says, Kaimalon, meaning... In the next sugi, we're going to go through somersaults in the air to figure out what he means by ganav ki gazlan. But kaimalan, at the end of the day, we call it in Yiddish the untish teshura. The last line is ke gazlan l'Rebbe Shimon. We're going to prove that in just a few minutes, which means that just like Rebbe Shimon holds in the case of a gazlan, there's Yeush, so too Rebbe extended that even to the case of a ganav. If that be the case, now we have a new explanation of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says both Muchsin and Listim. There's no need to interpret Listim as Listim Mizuyim. I'll grant you the simple, straightforward pshat that Listim means Ganov. You'll ask me, how could you say both Muchsin and Listim, which means both a Gazlan and a Ganov? The answer is, that's exactly what I'm going to tell you. Because Rebbe holds that a Ganov is like a Gazlan, and in both cases there's Yeush. Now the Gemara says, well, wait a minute, what did Rebbe mean with his very mysterious statement of Ganov ki Gazlan? Gufa, let's go back to Rebbe. Rebbe, Omer Ani, Ganov ki Gazlan, Iboiluhu, the Gemara raises a Safek, ki Gazlan durabonon ka Omer, Vilo Kani. Are we going to assume Gazlan, in the words of Rebbe, is durabonon's Gazlan, which means there's no Yeush Bailim? and therefore the ganav, and like the gazlan, is not kona b'yeyush. O dilma, should we say kegazlan the Rabbi Shimon ka'amar? And just like Rabbi Shimon says that there is yeyush in the case of a gazlan, so too by extension, according to Rabbi, there is yeyush in the case of a ganav v'kani, and therefore the ganav makes a kinyan. So we don't limit the kinyan of yeyush to the case of a gazlan, the way Rav Shimon would, but rather Rebbe extends the halacha of kani v'yeyush to the case of a ganav as well. So ganav is now being swallowed up in this expanded definition of yeyush, that yeyush includes not just a gazlan, but also a ganav as well. Ah, now, says the Gemara, we can go back and retrace our steps, and we can have a much smoother explanation of our Mishnah. Toshma, let's go back to our Mishnah. Notlo mochsin chamoro. So the mochsin took the chamor, confiscating it from Reuven, gave it over to Shimon. Then the Mishnah continues, notlo listim ksuso v'nosin lo ksus acheres. The listim took the garment of Reuven, gave it over to Shimon. And the Mishnah says, harel shalom, whether Shimon can keep the mule of Reuven, in both cases, in the case of Muchsin and in the case of Listin. Mani, who's the Mishnah? If the author of the Mishnah is Rabbanan Kasha Gazan, if the author of the Mishnah is Rab Shimon Kasha Ganov, now we have something to say. Iamrit, if we're going to say Bishlema Rebbe Ki Gazlan Di Rabbi Shimon Ka Omar, that Rebbe embraced the sheet of Rav Shimon of Gazlan, that a Gazlan is considered as Yeyush, and now he extends it to include Ganav as well. Is if that be the case, Vikani, is Hamani. Just 1 second. So then, if that be the case, then where was I up to? Was I up to the Rabbanan, or I got already up to Rebbe? To Rav Shimon. Yeah, let me go over it again. If it's Rabbanon, then we don't understand Gazlan, because there's no Yeyush in the case of Gazlan, so we're stuck with Mochsin. And if it's Rabbi Shimon, we don't understand the case of Listin, which is a Ganav, because according to Rabbanon, there's no Yeyush in the according to Rabbi Shimon, excuse me, there's no Yeyush in the case of a Ganav, Yamrit Bilishlem. But if we assume that Rebbe is Kigazlan to Rabbi Shimon Ka'amar, that Rebbe holds that both in Gazlan and in Ganav there is Yeyush, Vikani, is Hamani Rebbe. Now we could say that this Mishnah is authored by Rebbe. And it means that both in the case of Listim, i.e. Gazlan, and in the case, I'm sorry, both in the case of Muchsin, i.e. Gazlan, and in the case of Listim, i.e. Ganav, in both a Gazlan and a Ganav, there is an assumption of Yeish, because Rebbe holds that Ganav is Ki Gazlan Rav Shimon. Ela Iyamer Ki Gazlan Rabbanan Ka'amar. But if on the other hand, what the Rabbanan had in mind, what Rebbe had in mind was that there's no Yeish, neither in the case of Gzela, nor in the case of Gneva, Velo Kani, and therefore the Ganav of the Gazlan are not Kona, is Hamani, then the mission doesn't work out according to anyone. Lo Rebbe, Velo Rav Shimon, Velo Rabbanan. It's not like Rebbe and Rav Shimon, who hold that a Gazlan is Yeyush, but in a Ganav there's no Yeyush. And it's not like the Rabbanan who hold that in Ganav there's Yeyush, but not in Gazlan. Hachamayaskina b'listim mizuyon. No, if it's listim mizuyon, is Rabbi Shimon. He is saying to me that we're talking about a case, not a regular case of Listin who's a Ganav, but rather a Listin Mizuyin case who's a Gazlan. Ihochi Hainu Gazlan, Trey Gavni Gazlan. So Rabosai, basically before the words Hochamayaskinon, the Gemara wants to assume that we have a clear-cut proof from our Mishnah that Rebbe holds that a Ganav is like the Gazlan of Reb Shimon, meaning that there's Yeyush in both cases, both in the case of Gazlan and in the case of Ganav. Which means that Rebbe is a third Shita on his own, and our Mishnah reflects the Shita of Rebbe. For some reason, the Gemara is playing the devil's advocate. The Gemara doesn't want to accept that our Mishnah is Rebbe. And therefore, the Gemara wants to suggest that let's go back to the old interpretation that our Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon. You'll ask me about Listim. Listim is a case of Ganav. The answer is we're talking about a Listim Mizuyon, the answer of Shimon with the Trey Gavni Gazlan. So again, we still haven't come to any definite conclusion as to what exactly Rebbe had in mind. Toshma, Haganov vehagazlan vehaanos hegdeshon hegdesh vitrumosin trumo masroson maase. We had this price in which the Ganav and the Gazlan made a kinyan based on Yerush, and therefore they were able to be magnish the object, or to be mafresh truma, or mas. So who's the author of that brisa? Ira Bonin Kashi Gazlan. If we're going to say that this brisa was authored by the Rabbanon, well, one in the case of the brisa is a case of a Gazlan, and the brisa nevertheless assumes that there's Yerush. Well, the Rabbanon did not assume Yerush in the case of Gazlan. The E Rebbe Shimon, if you're going to tell me by process of elimination that the author of this price is Reb Shimon, is Kasha Ganov, how can there be an assumption of Yeish in the case of a Ganov according to Reb Shimon? Reb Shimon only allowed for the assumption of Yeish in the case of a Gazlan. E Amr Bishlema, if we're going to grant you the premise that Rebbe is Ganov ki Gazlan to Reb Shimon Kamer, meaning he set up Yeush in the cases of Gazlan and in the case of Ganov Mishum Hoki Ketoni. Now, and Mishnah makes a lot of sense. It's very smooth. And that's why both in the case of the Bryce, I meant to say, both in the case of Ganov and in the case of Gazlan is Yeush. El I Amrit, if you're going to tell me that Rebbe is Ganov ki Gazlan to Rabbanon, that's what he meant to say, which means that there's no Yeush, neither in Ganov nor in Gazlan, is Hamani, then we haven't successfully found any, you know, we can't point to any culprit, any particular Tana whose sheet that would allow us to identify him with our Brisa. So the Gemara answers, no, that's not a right, that's not a proof. Why? Because when it says in the Brisa Ganov, it's a case of Listin Mizuyan. And then we go over the same Shakta Vatari that we've seen before, Reb Shimon Hi, and the word Ganov here means a Gazlan. And according to Reb Shimon, there's an assumption of Yeush in the case of a Gazlan. Why would the Brisa have to mention both Ganov and Gazlan? And the Gemara answers, Hainu Gazlan, Potrei Gavni Gazlan. There are two categories of two types of Gazlanim. Amalei Rav Ashi L'Rava.
That's where we started at the end on the Dhamma.
Right, so basically what the Gemara does right now, it sort of repeats the same Shakla Vitaria.
Because why?
But I think the only reason why the Gemara repeats the Shakla Vitaria is because of Rav Ashi that we're going to learn now. It's all sort of like an introduction that, again, you know, we wanted to offer a possibility of finding an anonymous of identifying the anonymous Tana who is the author of the Mishnah and the Brisa, and really we thought we could do so by identifying Rebbe with the Ganov of Rebbe Shimon. So in other words, let's go back to Gufa again. What was Gufa? We didn't understand when Rebbe said Omer Ani Ganov Kegazan, did he mean this or did he mean that? So we're gonna now try to prove one way or the other by reanalyzing, reinvestigating the Mishnah and the Brisa. It turns out that the Shakla Vitaria is going to be identical, but the goal or the objective is totally different. In other words, before the objective was to try to figure out who's the author of the Mishnah, who's the author of the Brisa. Mm-hmm. Now, the authorship issue is sort of secondary. It's a means to an end. It's in order to clarify what did Rebbe mean when he used that ambiguous term, Ganov Kegazlan. And the Gemara basically rejects any definite conclusion up until Rav Ashi that we're about to embark upon. And you can't come to any conclusion. We really don't know whether or not Rebbe would accept Yeush in both the cases of Ganov and Gazlan, that's called Kigazlan to Reb Shimon, or he rejects Yeush in both cases. And we can never come to any conclusion about that because we could always fall back on the position that the Mishnah and the Brisa respectively are authored by Reb Shimon if we add the word Mizuyan to Listin. So with all the respect, the Gemara had made a tremendous effort to pin down Rebbe and identify Rebbe as Kigazla de Reb Shimon, but it's not necessary to do that. Because again, we only thought it was necessary to do that insofar as insofar as our assumption that Ganav is a Ganav, or Listim is a Ganav. Once we drop that premise, and we could assume that Listim is a Listim Mizuyim, which is a Gazlan, and Ganav is also a Gazlan, now everything fits into place. There are Trey Gavni Gazlan, and Rav Shimon holds that there's Yeish in the case of Gazlan, and that explains our Mishnah and the Brisa. So you're not hard-pressed to find the author of our Mishnah, and therefore attribute the Mishnah to Rebbe as a third sheep. So it makes sense now that we can identify Rebbe with King Gazlan de Rav Shimon. Well, let me... Actually, that last statement that I just said is a little bit imprecise. I just want to fix that up. In other words, we really at this point, we don't know whether Rebbe agrees with Rav Shimon and he accepts Yeish only in the case of Gzela, or he agrees with Rabbanon and he accepts Yeish only in the case of Gneva. We don't really have an answer to that question, because as soon as we change Ganov or list him into Mizuyan, which means classifying him as a Gazlan, then everything fits into Rav Shimon. So you're no longer hard-pressed to find a new Shita to which we would attribute the authorship of the Mishnah of the Brice. But now we have Rav Ashi. Okay? So is everybody on the same page here? We're on Daf Kuf Yudalet Amud Beis, and we're up to Omale Rav Ashi L'Rabba. How would we, just in case somebody came in late, how would
it's Rav Shimon in the Mishnah. Which Rav Shimon is this?
Rav Shimon in the Mishnah and Caleb. You remember that the Gano...
We're trying to fit Rebbe into Rav Shimon.
Well, not really. I mean, Rebbe certainly can reject Rav Shimon, and will reject Rav Shimon.
Which Rav Shimon is this?
Again, it's the Rav Shimon of Kalin. What's
is
the...
Is it Rebbe's son?
Oh, that I don't know. We'll see that coming up in Rav Ashi. But
be a little weird.
But again, let's not... Herb, let's not complicate matters too much. Let's try to get what we can get. What we can get is the following. Rebbe is a third Shita.
No problem.
Correct. Now, well, Rebbe's a third Shita. What is that third Shita? Is Rebbe Shita that we accept Yeush Umetum, straight across the board? Or do we reject Yeush straight across the board? And the Gemara thought that since our Brisa, and even before the Brisa, our Mishnah accepts the validity of Yeush in both the cases of Ganav and Gazlan, it must be that Rebbe accepted Yeush in both Ganav and Gazlan, because otherwise we're stuck. We don't know who's the author of our Mishnah, who's the author of our Brisa. Now that we successfully reinterpreted Listim and Ganav as a Gazlan with the Mizuyon aspect, now we don't know anything about Rebbe, because our Mishnah has an author. As long as you were hard pressed and you couldn't figure out who the author was, we're going to have to say that Rebbe holds that there's Yeush all over the place. Rebbe holds that there's Yeush in the case of Ganav and in the case of Gazlan. Otherwise, what are we going to do with that Mishnah of Listim and Mosin? But now that we know that the Mishnah of Listim and Mosin are authored by both the Mishnah of Listim and Mosin and the Brice of Ganav and Gazlan were authored by Reb Shimon, who accepts Yeush only in the case of Gzela. And the word Ganov should be reinterpreted to refer to List of Mizuyah, which is a Gaza. Now, we're no longer hard-pressed to find an authorship, to ascribe the authorship of the Mishnah to the third sheet of Rebbe, so we don't know what Rebbe holds. Does Rebbe reject Yeush or accept Yeush? And that's where Rav Ashi comes in. Toshma. Now, here's where the relationships that Herb was referring to is going to become a little bit more relevant to us. Now, what Rav Ashi is going to do is he's going to quote a Braisa, and it's a little bit rare, but from time to time the Braisa gives us a little bit more of the, I don't know what to call it, the historical recording of what exactly took place when the halacha was transmitted. Who said to whom? Usually the Brice will just tell you, Rebbe says so-and-so, and Chacham says so-and-so. Here, the Brice records a dialogue, a transmission of Torah. Demasni Rebbe l'Reb Shimon Bre. And in the course of this Brice, what's recorded here is a Torah lesson, you know, I guess you call it like a Talmud Torah kind of experience, between a father and a son, in this case between Rebbe and his son Rebbe Shimon. And what does Rebbe want to point out about our Mishnah? So for this, we have to refresh our memories, because the discussion here between Rebbe and his son Reb Shimon is not about the Mishnah that we're studying now, but about a Mishnah at the very beginning of this chapter, the 10th chapter of Bava Kamma, which is about a case in which Reuven stole something and then Reuven died. And the question is whether Shimon, let's call it Chanoch, whether Chanoch ben Reuven has to return the object to the Nigzal. Meaning, does the responsibility of Hashavas HaGzela, does it lend itself to inheritance, to the law of Yerusha? So what did Rebbe tell us? In the Mishnah itself, it speaks about what's called Dover Sheyesh Bo Achrayus, which means that the object that was stolen by Reuven in his lifetime is something that's stable, it's constant, it's always there, it's well anchored, it's not metaltolin that moves from place to place. This is something, by the way, which we call shibudim, because shibudim means almost enslaved. You know, if you have, let's say, a piece of real estate, you know, it's captured in its place, and that gives the malva a great deal of security that he'll be able to collect his chov, because he knows that the lover is not going to be able to play games with him like he could with a diamond ring, and shove, you know, sweep it under the rug. Wait, just give me 1 minute, Michael. So again, why is it logical that the Mishnah will discuss, as it says, literally, a case of Dover Sheyesh Lo Achrayus? So let's understand. When Reuven dies, and Shimon inherits Reuven, does Shimon have to return Gzela? So the answer to that should be a flat no, and I'll tell you why. Mitzvos are not inherited. Meaning, if my father had a mitzvah that he had to fulfill during his lifetime and he died, I don't have to pick up that mitzvah. That is an absolute universal rule. The only exception to that rule is called kibud avaim. What does that mean? That even though, technically, I don't have to return a stolen object that my father stole, because that mitzvah of returning a stolen object is incumbent upon the gazlan and not on the children of the gazlan, but nevertheless they have to be concerned, that's what Rebbe is going to teach his son Reb Shimon, with kibud avaim. Why? Because the word is out on the street that this land, let's say, in that case, that's being plowed by Chanoch ben Reuven, was stolen by Reuven. And this kind of, what's the word I want to use? It's a kind of gossip that feeds on itself, if you know what I mean. It perpetuates. So that the Chazal established applied a mitzvah of kibud av on the son, in this case Chanoch, to return the object that's well known, and that, you know, that the rumors are perpetuating about this object that was stolen by their father. That's a bizayin hames, so to speak. That's an insult to Reuven's great memory, which, you know, maybe he did tshuva at the end of his life. He didn't get a chance to return the gzela. I don't know, but be that as it may, there's a terrible, you know, story out there that's constantly being passed on and spoken about. You know, I guess it's the gossip on Shabbos lunch, you know, when they're eating cholent, that Reuven stole this piece of land. And the children of Reuven are living off the fat of the land. Okay. Now, comes along Rebbe, and he says the following. That you should know that Mishnah and that halach of kibud avaim is not limited to the case of karka, literally, as the Mishnah indicates, Dover Sheyesh Bo Achrayus, but applies even to metaltolin in certain unique cases. There are certain cases where you could have something that's constantly in use, even though it's a movable object, and everybody knows it was stolen. So when I was a kid, there was a cow called Elsie the cow. And everybody knew that Elsie the cow was a stolen cow. I mean, I'm just fabricating that for this. So that if everybody knows that this cow is stolen, and now Chanoch, after the demise of his father Reuven, is now plowing his field with that cow, then that's going to be a bizoyan to Reuven, to the memory of Reuven, because everybody's saying, well, that's Elsie, this cow that his father stole. Comes along Rav Ashi, and he says the following. Toshma, demasni Rebbe l'Reb Shimon Brei, Rebbe passes this transmission over to his son Reb Shimon. Lo davar she'yesh lo achrayus mamash. Don't take the Mishnah literally. Davar she'yesh lo achrayus is a category. It's not a case. It's not a specific heftza, but it's a conceptual, abstract idea. Ella afilu para v'choresh b'chamor u'mechamer achrav chayim lahachzir. It's anything that's used publicly on a regular basis and can easily be identified as a stolen object, it has to be returned. Chayovim lahachzir, the Yorshim must return it b'nei kovad aviyim. That's what it says in the Brice. It comes over Rav Ashi, and he says the following. Taimo, let's analyze this. You know, here you have to employ your thumb. Taimo b'nei kovad aviyim. Why did Rav Shimon say that he has the son, Chanoch ben Reuven, the Chanoch ben Aganov? Why does he have to return the para? It's because of Kibbutah. Halav kibbutav. Lo, let's say if not for the issue, if we'd isolate and bracket the issue of kibbutav, then there would be no need for them or no responsibility to return it. Well, wait a minute. Okay, forget about the mitzvah of Hashif Teshiveh, but they're holding on to someone else's mammon. And if they're holding on to something that belongs to the Nignav, they have to return that. Unless you say that there was a kinyan of Yeush. And in this case of a Kenyan Yeush, there's no way that Rebbe qualifies this and says, well, we're talking about a Ganov, we're talking about a Gazlan. It seems to be an all-inclusive statement, what we call Stama, unqualified, Shmamina, Rebbe, Gazlan, Derab Shimon, Kamar, Shmamina, that when Rebbe said that both in the case of a Ganov and in the case of a Gazlan, there is a Kenyan through Yeush, that's what he meant. That the Ganov is like the Gazlan of Reb Shimon, that just like in Reb Shimon's frame of reference, every case of a Gazlan is Yeush, so too in the case, in the context of Rebbe, even a Ganov is considered Yeush. And this becomes the final conclusive proof, which allowed us, if you remember before the word Gufa, to interpret our Mishnah or our Brisa as reflecting the sheet of Rebbe. And in that case, we no longer are pushed against the wall to assume that a Ganav in the Brisa is a Gazlan. We're no longer forced, v'doch ha-gadol, to say that Listim is not a Ganav, but he's a Gazlan because it's Listim Mizuyin. Drop that whole thing. Ein ochinami, a Ganav is a Ganav, and a Listim is a Ganav. Aye, why is there Yeush? Why is he coded? Because this is Rebbe Shita. And Rebbe holds that whether it's Muchsin, which is a Gazlan, or it's Listim, which is a Ganav, in both cases, there will be Yeush, because Rebbe assumes that Ganav has the same din as the Gazlan of Reb Shimon, which means that there's Yeush in both places. And that's called Shmami, you know, the Gemara comes to that final conclusion. Now here I'm a little bit confused if somebody could offer an answer to the following question. I looked and saw, I didn't see anyone who asks this question. But we have the Shita of Rabba, if you remember, against Ula. And what was the Shita of Rabba? Let me just make sure I got the names right. It's Rabba, yeah? Who argues with Ula is Rabba. Okay, good. So Rabba's Shita was that it makes no difference whether he was Messiahish or not Messiahish. There is no Yesh. Now, Rabba's Shita, I think, please correct me, is antithetical to Rebbe. Because Rebbe in the final Maskana, Shmamina is Gazlan, means Kegazlan to Reb Shimon, which means that Rebbe accepts Yeush straight across the board, both in the case of Ganov and in the case of Gazlan. So where would Rabba's statement that Afilu Biyadua, even though he made a declaration, we have, you know, witnesses to that effect, that he's Messiahish, nevertheless it's not Yeush, but I don't know what case Rabba has in mind. Yeah. And therefore I'm tempted to assume that Rabba's comment was addended to to add three shittas, meaning to Rebbe, excuse me, to Chachamim and Reb Shimon, but he had nothing to say about Rebbe, because Rebbe holds that there's Yeush both in the case of Ganavan and Gas. Alright, if anybody disagrees with me, please let me know. You may have to send me an email in the meantime, but okay. I'm going to probably run my kishkas off to catch this plane, only to find out it's delayed. And then I'm going to be upset that I didn't spend another half hour with you. All right. Now, if we go back to the Mishnah has the case of bees that flew the hive, if we can call it that, so the coop, whatever you want to call it, and they ended up in someone else's field. And that person wants to claim ownership on the bees and say that he was zochem in a hefker. Meanwhile, there's someone who's contesting that and saying, well, these are my bees and I want to get them back. Oh, excuse me, I failed to finish the sugya today, but the case of Nochil Shel Dvorim is called a Kinyan Derabbanan. And the reason for that is you can't really acquire ownership over bees. They're always flying in and out, and you can't make a kinyan on them. And the Rabbanan made a special takana of a kinyan, the Rabbanan on bees. Now, what I want you to check out is that going to have any impact on Yeush? Could it be that there's a difference between a kinyan d'oraisa and a kinyan d'rabbanan with regard to Yeush? So let me take this opportunity to say to everyone, Ferguson to hate. Have a safe trip, and Mirza Shem will. I'll pick up my shiurim a week from this Shabbos, meaning on Erev Shabbos Parshas Balak. I'll be back, and then our shiurim will continue after that.